I mean, I'll come by half an hour early.
There we go. That'll work. That'll work. You can be stared at through the window by the dog.
I'll wear my hat. My
okay, hat. So, like, in 2025, the third Sunday is the 15th.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it should be the 22nd. But it doesn't say Father's Day, so I don't understand that. But
yeah. And of course, you know, that's
I was here. I was on
just
here.
Yeah, the 22nd. It's still the 19th.
Oh, and then I'm 22, it's not just
Senate, provincial
Senate,
it's the 18th.
And then the bookstore, the
NCF,
the Lincoln Co-ed
song. Yeah, do this, but
really?
Then it moves.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
God keeps
you know,
going back.
Well, and we were so grateful that they didn't have fireworks because, you know, the animals get
hurt. Our dog eats anything.
What's that?
He pees two times.
Oh, yeah.
I think we have probably about 3 miles of gas in place here.
I do get my
this is
why I do too. I'm down to stand on my pencil.
Yeah.
Like I always do.
Sometimes it's quite hilarious here in the scripture.
10, 9.
Mine says 5 minutes
right now. Maybe Bob was like pushing time.
No, it's time like
will,
2 minutes.
Yeah, it says 6 minutes too.
That's slow.
Yeah.
Just
that's like not this time. Caribbean meridian time.
Caribbean time. Yes.
1 minute.
All right. Thank
you. As I sniffle.
You're on my side again.
Yeah. No. Do you remember red tape?
Don?
Yeah.
Can you give me a quick sound check on the pulpit, please?
Oh, okay. Okay, we welcome all of you to our Lord's Day service. Okay.
No pressure to be here.
Yeah. Everything's locked. Stay away.
The slow one.
Huh?
We're playing the slow one first. Half speed.
Half speed ahead, Captain. This is going to slow you down. This is the song of the Sleeping Beauty, by the way.
It is.
It didn't say a command for bed or what?
12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3,
Good morning and welcome to our Lord's Day service. We hope the service is a blessing to you. We want to welcome Diane Jacobson as our lay reader and Hal Halverson, who will be lending his musical talents to us. We're also very grateful for the fathers that are tuning in, and we wish all of you a very happy Father's Day. And I especially want to give thanks for one dad today, and that's Diane Jacobson's dad, Glenn Gerdman. Glenn reached his 90th birthday, and he hasn't missed a beat. He still takes wonderful care of his family, and we want to wish him a very happy Father's Day. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord. Worship is taken from Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from all the lands. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Please join us in singing Faith of Our Fathers.
Of dungeon fire and soul. to that time of worship where we bring our prayer concerns and our praise reports. We want to remember in our prayers Annette, who lost her husband last week, for Sarah, for Dave, Chris and daughter Erin, Gail, Greg, Marguerite, who's in hospice care, Tammy, Julianne, Ray, Kevin, Dean, Jack, Jaden, and Madeline. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we are so grateful. We're grateful that we could gather today in all the sacred spaces. We're so grateful for your kindness and your gentleness toward us. We're so grateful for our fathers today. We're so grateful for those who are with us, who continue their care and loving kindness toward us. We're so grateful for those who have entered the nearer presence of the Savior, for their legacy. We are so grateful that you, as our Father, love us and cherish us in all circumstances. We lift those up before you who need your guidance, who need your tender care. We lift up Annette as she navigates life without her beloved. We lift up Sarah, Dave, Chris and daughter Erin, Gail, Greg, Marguerite, Tammy, Julianne, Ray, Kevin, Dean, Jack, Jaden, and Madeline. We ask that your presence would sustain them and your right hand would be their guard and their shield. We ask all these mercies in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our New Testament lesson is taken from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, At an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. With the weapons of the righteousness for the right hand, and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see, we are alive, as punished and not yet killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. Our gospel lesson is taken from the book of Mark. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great gale arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The reflection is written by Reverend Corey Kemp. Have you ever awakened in the middle of the night, unable to go back to sleep because you are so worried or upset about something going on in your life? It happens. When it happens to you, life can seem endless and lonely. Feeling mentally, emotionally, or spiritually overwhelmed can take over your whole life. While everyone else's life appears to be humming along quite nicely as always, your own is falling apart at the seams, and you feel powerless to stop it. Moving from where you are to where you want to be, whatever that looks like for you, may seem hopeless. And then something changes, and you can see your way through to taking the next step, and the one after it, and then another. You can breathe a little easier, maybe even feel a little hopeful, and you begin to see the place where you want to be as is nearer than you thought. Soon, you are on the other side of your worry, able to look back and move forward. And you can sleep through the night again. What got you through all of that? Life is filled with moving through experiences that worry us so deeply, they can steal the very rest and peace of mind required to face them when we are awake. The people on that storm-tossed boat with Jesus asked him a fair question as they shook him awake. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus did care. But before he addressed their question, he solved the problem, rebuking the wind and calming the waves. We forget about that calm after the storm sometimes, don't we? It is here that Jesus didn't get cranky for having been awakened from a sound sleep. He asked them why they were afraid. Did they still have no faith? I believe Jesus asked those questions kindly, much more so than we ask them of ourselves, especially in those weary, sleepless nights of worry and despair. God has seen us through so much, and sometimes we do struggle, doubt, worry, even to the point of keeping ourselves up at night. As servants of God, we have endured. It is important to remember as we work together with God that we not take the sustaining grace of God for granted. It is to be relied on always, for he says, "At an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you." That is everything. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you're like me, you make enough boneheaded decisions on your own to make a mess of things. You don't need somebody else doing it for you. I like to say, I only have myself to blame. So if I do something dumb and I have to fix it, well, that's on me. But what really frosts me is when somebody else makes the boneheaded decision and I have to fix it. Any of you who are employed understand that, don't you? Where your boss says something to you and says, I want it this way, and you know that it's better. Diane is looking at me. My secretary, now I don't think I ever do this as the boss, but you never know. You know that something is right, and yet your boss says, do it this way, so you do it until it doesn't work, and you have to fix it, even though it was the boss's problem in the first place. That's kind of what happened today on that Sea of Galilee. Jesus was the landlubber. He was a carpenter. He didn't know anything about boats, or so they thought. The disciples were the professionals. They were fishermen. Now, sometimes they fished at night, but that was only out to the shore a certain way so that they could get back in. They wouldn't go out into the deep at night. They wouldn't travel at night to another destination because that was kind of dangerous. There were no electric lights and no battery-operated lights. And so sailing at night was not something you did on a regular basis. But the boss said, let's go. And so it was evening. It had been a long day. He said, let's go. And it says that they took him in the boat as he was. In other words, there was no preparation. He said it, and they did it. They were good, obedient servants of Jesus. And they get out there, and he falls fast asleep. And then the storm comes. And I don't think they woke him up in trembling fear. I think it was more exasperation. And I have this mental image that they woke him up with a bucket in their hand to give him, because by this time they said the boat was taking on water, so what were they doing? They were bailing out. And I'm sure they shook him and said, don't you care? We're gonna drown here. Here's a bucket, bail us out. And so when they shook him awake, he stood up and he did not say, peace be still, and there was a great calm. It says he rebuked the winds and the waves, like he would cast out a devil. And then there was a dead calm. But the calm was in the sea. The calm was not in the disciples, because they said they had great awe. Now, that interpretation really is not accurate. The original words were, they feared a great fear. In other words, they were in holy terror. This was not an awe, oh, this is great, this is awesome. This is, oh dear God. Even though the winds were calm and the sea was calm, they were frightened. Why were they frightened? Because the person that they addressed as teacher, the one that this charismatic leader that they followed, they thought was a great man. But now they were in the presence of the one who maintains the universe. And I could understand their fear and their trepidation. Jesus dominated nature. and that they were not equipped to handle. What they had wanted was someone to help bail them out. And what he did was speak to the elemental spirits of nature and subdued them. And I think that's the thought that Paul had when he talked about his life. The life that he led, God did not bail him out. He had some terrible things happen to him as he was proclaiming the name of Jesus. But that did not stop him. And he gives a laundry list in the Corinthians of all the things he had gone through. And he said about his trouble, he called it afflictions. But afflictions was not just, I have bad things happen to me. The word meant pressure. It was like the life was being squeezed out of him. And he said, in that pressure, in those hardships, when he'd be beaten to a bloody pulp, when he had sleepless nights, not because he was worrying about a 401k, but he had to have a sleepless night because there were people out to get him, and he had to be vigilant and leave town before they could get him. He was thrown in jail. These were literal calamities that came on him, and he wasn't bailed out, but he knew the power of God within him. And he knew that Christ was in charge of the elemental spirits of the universe. So he said to the Corinthians, even though the world will say that I am poor, I am wealthy. Even though the world says I have nothing, I possess everything. The power is within me. And this is the same power that we have this day. The elemental spirits of the universe are in God's command. And he has promised to us the Holy Spirit of God that can endure and withstand any trouble life throws out at us. We often ask for a bailout, and perhaps we should be asking for that power to reside in us so we can take on life in all its challenges, in all its frustrations, and know that we are, as Paul says, more than conquerors through him who loved us. Let us pray. He gives us more grace as our burdens grow greater. He sends us more strength as our labors increase. To added afflictions, he adds his mercy. To multiply trials, he multiplies peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. For his love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he gives and he gives and he gives again. And now may the wind of the Spirit startle our senses and blow through our lives. May the fire of the Spirit shake us out of our complacency and light our way. And may the blessing of the Holy One, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon us now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you all.